2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Attention. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. Attention. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Tom Curl, the owner of the warehouse down here in Salt Lake City. The back-to-school sale is underway. 1825 South, 300 West. He's giving us a rundown of this little jaunt down to California. Don't call it a vacation. Woof. It's a lot of work down there going on. So Tom's here in the flesh. It's really good to see him. We've got Jazz gear down here. Come down and high-five us and get a Jazz shirt. And this is some nice Nike stuff, too, that they're trying to get rid of. Because, hey, anytime there's a rebrand, you might need to get yourself some of the old brand and some nice shirts. So let's do it. 1825 South, 300 West. Scott, I saw one of your contemporaries saying something today that I thought was interesting, which was Neon Dion brought up that
Primetime
brought up that the NFL has gotten watered down when it comes to the Hall of Fame and the inductees that show up. And specifically, this is a real bust on the people that just got in. He was like, you look at the class of people that just got let into the Hall of Fame, and these are people who should not be standing next to me, basically, is what he said, right? And so he's saying that we've kind of watered down what it means to get into the Hall of Fame. See, now, I think it's the reverse. I think you got a lot of guys who got in because they were the early part of the game and they were kind of the pioneers. And we go, well, they were the best of their time, so we got to let them in. And their numbers are garbage because numbers now are insane. They play 17 games in a regular season. And so the numbers are going to be very, very different. And it's always going to be apples to oranges. But when he said that, I thought, I got to see what Scott thinks about what Deion Sanders said about how there are people in the Hall of Fame that probably shouldn't be there and definitely are not anywhere near the level of talent of
If you understand the process of how Hall of Fame voting goes, you could kind of understand why there's – I don't want to say a consistent process in which people are actually voted in, but there is some bias to it. And here's how part of it goes. Yeah, and it's the same way that they determine who goes to college football playoffs. You have a committee, a group of voters, and they actually meet on this. They meet on this over multiple times during the year. But they have individuals who typically covered the player for most of their career.
Right.
Okay. So if let's just say you play for the Kansas City Chiefs. People all across the country don't necessarily follow the Kansas City Chiefs as much as maybe they do the New York Giants or they do some of these other teams. And so people, when they want to find out about the Kansas City Chiefs, you know where they go? They go to the local media, the daily beat writers who cover the team every day. Now, if you're in Detroit and you were to hear the beat writers talk about, like me when I played, you know, you'd say that I had no business being in the NFL, you know, because they were brutal. And then if you talk to the beat writers, they go, well, we're just here to echo what the fans think. So it's not an objective. And you also remember,
everybody hides behind some.
What
excuse,
are people right? trying? What are people trying to do? Who own newspapers? They're trying to sell it, right? So they have to have it as inflammatory as they possibly can. So there's a lot of bias. Now, when I played for the Miami Dolphins, different story, different vibe on how people actually felt about the team. So then you get years down the road. And you go, well, how, you know, that guy was pretty good. Or, you know, so let's talk about that player right now. And people either have this built-in bias or they forget how good the player was, or that the player was, you know, kind of average or not super great. I mean, every year I can't argue with Deion Sanders and say, yeah, I didn't see that guy as a Hall of Famer. You know,
Or there are people,
like Zach Thomas. Zach Thomas is a linebacker, played for the Miami Dolphins.
Is he in the Hall of Fame?
No.
Oh.
And every year, everyone, Richmond Webb, who I played with, who really early on in his career, Richmond Webb is as good a left tackle as there was in the NFL.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, he went up against Bruce Smith, Richard Dent, Lawrence Taylor, Reggie White, you know, I mean, the best of the best his rookie year, and shut him down. Didn't give up a sack in the entire game. And you go, amazing. Richmond Webb is nowhere near the Hall of Fame.
Is there a
disparity?
Then
you go Tony Boselli, and Tony Boselli was a good player on an okay team with an okay organization, but there was this perception that Tony Boselli, and I'm not knocking Tony Boselli, but I'm not saying Tony Boselli is any better than Richmond Webb.
Well,
and there's just
Deion Sanders is saying something here that I think that we already know. Like in the NBA or in the Basketball Hall of Fame, right? The like when you think across the entirety of the world of let's just say pro basketball, of course there are going to be guys who aren't on par with Michael Jordan, with Larry Bird, with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. There are going to be guys that were always going to go, huh? So what exactly is the standard? The real problem is that there's no real standard to go by because
Right. Standards
change, everything changes. The
eras
the guys
change,
and the writers who are typically the ones who are writing this thing up or the ones who are doing the voting, it's hard because they look at it and they go, well, this is why we voted them in. This is why we liked them. And it's totally subjective.
Rules change, Alex.
And the rules
changed. I mean,
it's very different from when you played.
There was an era, like in my era of football, if you threw for 3,000 yards, oh, my goodness, that was an amazing, insane NFL season. If you had a 300-yard game, it was an amazing, feat.
We'd barely see him, right?
Right, and now it's like it's 4,000. It's really 5,000 yards. I mean, if for a guy to have 30,000 yards in their career passing,
they go, yeah, I don't know if we're going to put him in the Hall of Fame.
Like insane.
We're wondering
50, 60, 70,000 yards in a career. And it's all because the rules have changed.
Yes.
It's not necessarily these players are better or could be better. I mean, they're players back in an era that, you know, would have had similar types of stats as today's players. You want to know who the real MVP should be or the real Hall of Famer should be? It's television. I mean, the NFL is
due to real MVP TV
is nothing without television. If you don't have television, and it happened in 1958, it was the first time an entire nation watched the New York Giants play the Baltimore Colts, and it changed everything. and a sport that was very regionalized, and what you heard about it was what you read about it. And now, because football's so visual, you know, the hits and the contacts and the plays, they're so visual, and it comes to life so beautifully on television. So you know, all these players throughout generations have certainly benefited from that. And Johnny Unitas for years was like the poster child. This is the best player ever to play in the NFL. And it all stemmed from that time. And then all of a sudden it became the Pittsburgh Steelers or the 1972 Miami Dolphins, but they were on television, and people got to see, you know, how great these organizations were. But then, but it's also, you know, you look at some of the, like, bigger market teams, you're just going to have an advantage of getting guys into the Hall of Fame over places that are these smaller markets. And a lot of that also is television. And television said, we're going to show the Chicago Bears. We're going to show the Dallas Cowboys. We're going to show the New York Giants. And we'd like to show teams in Los Angeles.
Sure.
And really, those are the markets. And so, who has the most Hall of Famers of all time? We learned this educational, remember, on Monday, the trivia game that you didn't answer anything.
Right on?
Right?
Thank you. It was not a trivia game. It was true or false.
The Chicago Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, and there's a lot of Dallas Cowboys who are in the Hall of Fame. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, the really television. And I mean, Deion Sanders played for the Dallas Cowboys. And not to say Deion wouldn't have made it otherwise, but so the media and the media bias and the media exposure has so much to do with and play into whether these guys make it in the Hall of Fame or not. And it's subjective.
Of course it is.
There's no, you know, it's just like college football and the college football playoffs. And when it's subjective, you're always going to scratch your head and go, huh?
Let's take another break. We'll come back. We have our What Are the Odds around the corner. So we're going to stick with it here, and we're going to throw out our predictions. We also, coming up at the top of next hour, we've got our Bold and Stupid Picks.
Oh, good. I got some good ones,
our
too.
Our annual Bold and Stupid Picks for college football. And look, if it's not bold and if it's not stupid, we don't want it.
Not on this show.
So you better bring the bold and you better bring the stupid. So let's get it going. We're going to be coming back. We're here at the warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West. It's Unrivaled, brought to you by G2G Bars, all natural ingredients, no preservatives, plenty of protein. G2G Bars, perfect for anybody who needs a quick, tasty, nutritious boost. We'll take the break here. We'll come back. More to go. Unrivaled continues. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.